We're going to start a new series today. In the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about one of the important pieces of being a disciple of Jesus. We're going to talk about a life of generosity. We're going to talk about what it might mean for us to live this life of generosity and why it is so important for us as disciples of Jesus Christ. Our scripture today comes to us from Luke chapter 12. I'm going to be reading beginning with verse 13 down through verse 21. If you have your Bibles, you're welcome to follow along with me. If you don't, you're welcome to listen as we read from the Gospel of Luke chapter 12 beginning with verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me as a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to all of them, "Watch out. Be on your guard for all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And then Jesus told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich toward God." May the Lord add a blessing to both the hearing and the reading of his holy word, and let us pray. Gracious God, we give thanks for the opportunity to gather together as a community of faith to worship you. And we're thankful, Lord, for the way that your Holy Spirit has worked through this gathering thus far. And we pray, Lord, that your Spirit would continue to work among us. Lord, I pray that in the next few minutes that I might decrease in this place in order that Jesus Christ might increase. And I pray, Lord, that my words would be your words. And God, we humbly ask, as always, that you would open our ears, open our minds, but most of all, dear God, open our hearts so that the words that you have for us today might be more for us than simply more information. Lord, you know we live in a time when we're bombarded by information on all sides. But Lord, we pray today that your words might bring us transformation, that your word might dig deeply into our hearts, into our beings, and that you might change us from the inside out. And all this we ask in the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is in his name that we've offered this prayer, saying, Amen. You ever seen this show on A&E, Storage Wars? You ever watched this show? There's a show about, you know, people who have storage units that they have rented, and apparently either they fail to pay or they just leave. And the fascinating thing about this is people go in and buy these storage units, not knowing what's inside, not knowing what's in there. And so that's kind of the appeal of the show, is that people are bidding on these storage units and they don't know what's in them. And the fascinating thing to me, if you watch this show, is that most of the storage stuff that people have put in here, man, it's junk. It's junk. No wonder they quit paying for this storage. No wonder they left it behind, because most of it is junk. And I thought to myself, how in the world do people end up like this? How in the world do people end up storing all this stuff? And then I walked down into my garage. And then I looked at my closets, and I know what's in the attic, and I thought, oh, good grief, how do we end up with so much stuff? When I was on vacation, the first day of my vacation on Monday, Kim says to me, "You know what we need to do?" She said, "We need to get rid of some of the stuff in our garage." And I thought, I'm not sure that's how I want to spend my vacation. But it's such a rare time that we both go, maybe we ought to get rid of some stuff that we ended up getting rid of. Gallatin Care sent their truck over to us, and we filled up half the truck. And the sad part of this is that as we were trying to decide what was going to be put on the truck and what we were going to keep, sometimes we were like little kids. You know, one of the first words that young ones learn is mine, mine, right? You see this. That's what they call them, the terrible twos. Mine, it's mine. We learn about possession early on in life. We were trying to get rid of some of our stuff, and Kim said in so many words, mine. And I said, nah, we need to get rid of that. And so this went on for a while, and one of the things we hadn't looked through yet were books. Most of those are mine. And Kim said, why don't we go through the books for a little while instead of going through this stuff? I said, no. The books are valuable. Are you kidding me? And the point here, brothers and sisters, is that when we own things, we think that we own them. And the truth is that they own us. They own us. And Jesus today, in this interesting story that he tells, talks about a man who needed to build bigger and bigger and bigger barns to store his stuff. You know, it's fascinating to me that Jesus says, at the very beginning of the passage that I read to you, Jesus says, your life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. And in the ancient world, there were not a lot of possessions. In the ancient world that Jesus lived in, there was no middle class. There was no moving up in home. People were mostly living a subsistence existence. And so the people that Jesus was talking to were lucky if they had one extra coat, one extra robe. They were fortunate if they had that. But just like we do sometimes, they looked around and they saw people who were wealthy, people who had a lot of things, and they thought to themselves, if I just had what they had, I'd be set. I'd be set. And so Jesus tells them this wonderful, wonderful story about the rich man who kept building bigger and bigger barns. And did you hear in the scripture why he was doing this? Why he was doing this? He had a great year. The harvest was good. He kept building bigger and bigger barns so that, did you hear this in the scripture? He could eat, drink, and be merry. So I can sit back and go, I've got it made. I don't have to work. I don't have to do anything, right? And if you don't believe that that is also an issue in our society, you've never been in line behind somebody who was buying lottery tickets. And you see it. And every time I get behind somebody who's buying lottery tickets, there's a part of me that goes, well, maybe just one. That's all it would take, right, if I just bought one. But this guy really thought that if he had enough, that he wouldn't be beholden to anybody, and he could just sit back and have a good time. Now, I'm thankful that here in the 21st century that we don't build bigger barns. Or do we? The average size of a house in 1950 in America was 1,000 square feet. The average size of a house in 1970 was 1,400 square feet. The average size of a house built in 2010 was 2,700 square feet. No, we're not building bigger barns, are we? We're not building bigger barns. And you see, the problem with this stuff-itis that takes us over and why we want bigger and bigger and more is because I think we, just like the rich man, have this idea that if we just could get enough, that we could be free. We would be free. We really would. This is what this man thought. I would be free. I wouldn't have to work. I wouldn't have to worry about other people. I could eat, drink, and be merry. I could have a good time. I would be free. And then, of course, in this story, just like so many of the stories that Jesus told, there's this, it just kind of flips upside down because God says to the man, guess what? Your life is going to be required of you tonight, and who is going to get your stuff? Who's going to get your stuff? Well, probably there was going to be an heir or two, right, who were going to fight over the stuff, which harkens back to the very first part of this passage from Luke. Goes right back to that. They were going to argue over it, but the man, it wouldn't be his anymore. And you know, sometimes when we approach Scripture, I think we've got to be very careful because sometimes we approach Scriptures like this and we don't like to hear them. They step all over our toes because we think, what does Jesus want from us? Well, Jesus wants us to give up our stuff. Jesus wants us not to live in luxury or even ordinary, you know, kind of existence. But I think what we got to understand from this story is that Jesus wants for us, you hear the difference between from us, Jesus wants for us, Jesus wants us to be free. He wants us to be free. And Jesus recognized that accumulating possessions, building bigger barns, bigger houses, getting more stuff would not make you free or me free. And what Jesus wants from us is, and for us even more, is that Jesus wants us to be free. He wants us to be free. And when we think about having lots and lots of stuff, when we think about having to build more and more storage spaces or renting storage spaces or building bigger, whatever it is that we're doing, one of the things that we don't realize is how much our stuff encumbers us, how much it straps us down, how much it really keeps us from being the people that Jesus wants us to be. Because you see, you know what? I find this out every time that I get a newer car, the cost of the auto insurance goes up, doesn't it? Doesn't it? You get a larger house, it costs more to insure, more to heat, and plus it gives you more room to accumulate even more stuff, to the point that you get strapped down. And particularly in our society where people are in debt, way up, sometimes neck, sometimes eyeballs deep in debt. When people are in so much debt that every bit of what they earn has to go to maintain the lifestyle, it has to go to make sure we have enough stuff because goodness knows, Mr. Smith or Mrs. Jones, we don't want to get behind them. We don't want to get behind them. Good grief. Don't want to get behind the Joneses or the Smiths. We got to keep up here. And the next thing you know, if you wanted to be a generous person, you can't. You can't. Because you get stuck. The people that work in financial services and help people estimate that 65 to 70% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck. Paycheck to paycheck. You're just hoping to get to the next week, 2 weeks, the next month. And it has been said that one of the things that we like to do is we like to go in debt and spend our money on stuff so that we can impress people around us, a lot of whom we don't even like. We don't even like, right? And brothers and sisters, Jesus is trying to get us to understand that when you are possessed by your possessions, when your accumulations keep you from living a life of generosity, you are most certainly not free. I really love what Jesus says at the end of this passage. This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but who is not rich toward God. And see, that's the objective, isn't it? We want to be rich towards God. We don't want to be rich in the eyes of the world. We don't want to be rich in the eyes of the world. We want to be rich towards God. And sometimes we have so much stuff that we can't really be free. And brothers and sisters, it's a tough thing to do. You know, I have this vocation of mine that requires me to wear reasonably nice clothes. And I was looking one day through my closet, and I started to count up how many T-shirts that I have. Most of them have something on them, you know. Sports team, rock group, funny saying, something. And I had 78 T-shirts in my closet. Okay? And I thought to myself, you get to wear a T-shirt maybe one day a week or two. Why do you need 78? And then the next week, you know what? There was a T-shirt sale going on somewhere, and it was one that I didn't have, and I bought another T-shirt. And y'all see, we need to give this some thought, because we don't. Until we start to go through our closets or our garages or our attics or our storage units, and all of a sudden we go, why do we have all of this stuff? Why do we have it? And I think the question we really need to ask ourselves is, do we want to be rich in the eyes of the world as the world measures being wealthy, being rich? Or do we want to hear what Jesus is saying us today, and do we want to be rich towards God? And the way to be rich towards God is to not have an abundance of possessions. It's not. And most of us who live in the wealthiest society that has ever existed on this planet, would you agree with that? We live in the wealthiest society that has ever existed. We have way more than we need. And it's a shame when we have way more than we need, and there are people around us that don't have what they do need. And so what Jesus is calling us to do, what Jesus is calling us for, what Jesus is saying to this for us, it's not what he wants from us. Again, it's what he wants for us, is he wants us to be free, because he wants us to be generous. And Jesus knows that you can't take it with you when you go. I mean, really, if we could sum up this story in one sentence, wouldn't that be it? You can't take it with you when you go. You can't take it with you when you go. And maybe we should hear this in our affluence and say, what is it that I really need? Because you know this as well as I do. Nothing I ever have owned has brought me peace of mind. It hasn't. Nothing I've ever owned has ever really made me happy. It hasn't brought me joy. It hasn't made me a better person, typically. It has not. And most of the time, what we know is that initially, after we buy something that we've really wanted, after a while we go, huh, you go, this didn't do it either. And what most of us do is we go out and buy something else. We get hooked right again, and we go out and we buy something else. And I think if we are going to be people who are going to live a life of generosity, if we're going to be people who are really going to be disciples that want to follow Jesus, Jesus wants us to be free, brothers and sisters. That's what this is about. It's not about Jesus wanting us to live in poverty. It's not about Jesus wanting us to live in discomfort. It's about Jesus wanting us to understand what it is to be free. So may we hear this wonderful, wonderful story that Jesus told, and may it at least make us stop and think, do we really need more stuff? I don't know about you, but one of the things I know is that I'm already stuffed. I got enough stuff. But what I really want more of is I want more peace. I want to become more loving. I want to be more joyful. I want to be able to give to people that really need it. I want to be able to help. And I don't need any more stuff to do that. And may we be people who understand that to be free is to be unencumbered by lots of stuff that we don't need. That's what freedom really is, and that's what Jesus is calling us to. May we seek that freedom and more of what we really want and less of what we think we want. And may we hear this story from Jesus in a new way. Because truly, if we seek the kingdom of God first, that's what Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. All the rest will fall into place. And I have yet to see anybody who sought first their own comfort, their own ease, their own abundance of stuff, wealth, whatever it is, that really had peace, that really had joy, that really felt closer to God. It's not what happens. It's about us being willing to seek the kingdom first and understand that our lives do not consist in an abundance of possessions. They do not. But they consist in an abundance of love, generosity, and God. That's what a good life really consists of. And that's what Jesus wants for us. Amen? Amen.